Welcome to the Fringe of It.
Episode number 4.
I'm just laughing because let us set the scene. Due to the snow, unless you're living on another planet, you will have heard a lot about this week. Me and Liv tried to get together on Friday, was it Liv?
It was Friday, and I was walking to the station and you abruptly called me and said, "Don't come, it's going to start snowing again," and I would have been stuck in Margate.
And also, my mum was already stuck in Margate, so I was at capacity. I was like Bethlehem, there was no room at the inn.
Not even for this little donkey.
No. So today we are recording over Skype, and a big thank you to Sarah Tasker from Me and Orla, who has a wonderful podcast you should go and listen to. She recommended some software that we are trying, so it seems to be working because we've tried lots of things to get this recording working and sounding half decent, and it's been a bit of an uphill struggle. So thank you, Sarah, for sorting out our technical problems.
Hopefully it doesn't sound like we're on Five Live. C'est la vie. If we do, then we can pretend we're commentators just for 1 week only.
I just felt I've got a lot to say about the snow.
You look like a bit like a commentator, actually, in your roll neck and your big headphones.
I do, don't I? Oh, and if I get my microphone, which nobody on the podcast can see, but if I do this, I probably look like I'm commentating on football in the 70s.
It's a look.
Back to our intro. Oh, we've had some emails, which I can't show you.
Oh my god, we've had emails this week?
Normally we look at the inbox together, so we might have to cover those next week.
Okay, well, let's choose to save them for next week as a treat.
Yeah, but we do have 3 emails, which I'm really excited about.
Let's let them build up. might have 6 next week.
We might have 6. And the Facebook group is the hive of activity. It always has been.
We cannot tame it.
And another thank you to everybody that's bought tickets for our event on Wednesday.
And apologies for not mentioning it in a previous episode. It was very spontaneous, very quickly organised. So if you did miss out, A, apologies, but B, there will be another one soon, hopefully in April, and that we'll have prior notice. So we'll announce it on here. So if you don't follow the Facebook group and or Twitter or Instagram, then, you know, we'll inform you here.
I love the way you said that.
Plug.
Yeah, just in case you don't follow us on all social media platforms, then...
Then why not? How have you found us?
How rude. Yeah, how did you find us? Shall we cut this intro and start off with this week?
Let's do it.
So, hey Liv, over Skype, you're in your dressing gown. I look like Father Christmas's helper. I've got red and white long johns on and a big red roll neck.
I actually said, I made quite a niche reference, so kudos if anyone understands this. I said Charlotte looked like Alex Turner in the Arctic Monkeys Cornerstone video, which... If you are familiar with that video, it's a very accurate depiction of how she looks. You've got the big headphones, the roll neck. It's a statement.
I wish I had Alex Turner's hips, to be fair.
Oh, the little snake hips.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I don't think I'll ever have snake hips. I've never had snake hips. And I think after childbirth, my dreams of snake hips are long gone. Let's find out what you've been up to this week, Liv.
Oh, starting with me. What should we start on? Should we start with what we've watched?
I think we just need to talk about the snow. I want to talk about the snow.
I mean, on Monday, I went out for my brother's birthday brunch and with my family, and it basically was called off initially because my parents worried about the snow. And this was before it came. There was a dusting and it'd gone. And I was like, what? And then the rest of the week just went to total shh.
I didn't leave the house from Monday until Friday night.
I had to cancel a lot of plans, and you feel a bit pathetic because you know that other places get on with it, but we just don't have the infrastructure for this.
Well, I think the problem in this country with the weather is, for anybody in another country who gets a lot of snow, just laugh at us Brits. I actually look at snow and it, to me, I feel like the witch from the Wizard of Oz who melts in the water. I feel like British people melt in snow, like they just can't function. The pavements were really icy, really
they
icy.
They were genuine. I mean, that's the thing. Like when we were in Finland, for example, we were driving and the people that drove us were driving like faster than we do anywhere on the snow, thick snow. Then I was like, you're equipped for that. Your tyres are equipped for that. Like this is, you're used to this. You have fancy snow boots. Whereas here, we've got wellies and like normal tyres.
normal size. You won't have known this, but I don't think I've ever told you, but I broke my arm when I was four at school on the ice because they sent us out in wellies. Just stay indoors, people. My mum had to stay here for the weekend because she couldn't get back up north, but that's fine because me and Jack went on a date.
Ooh, where did you go?
Well, we went to the recycling centre first. Then we went to TK Maxx home, and then we went to the cinema.
Okay, that's where it was all going to.
Yeah, I have been to the cinema twice in a week. So I saw Lady Bird, and then I also saw I, Tonya. I wasn't prepared for how stressful I, Tonya was going to be. I thought, we'll go to the cinema, we'll have a nice time. No, I was on the edge of my seat, my palms were sweating, my cheeks go hot when I'm really stressed. It was just a really, really stressful film. I mean, it's based on a true story, and it's just, if for nobody that knows what it's about, it's Margot Robbie. Is that the right actress?
It is indeed Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie plays Tonya, who was a figure skater in the 80s, and it's about her journey. But it was funny, like halfway through the film, Jack just looked at me and gave me a look of, you didn't think this is what this film was about, because he just knew how stressed I was getting throughout the film. And he was just like, kept looking at me and laughing, because when I watch a film, I feel like I'm actually living the life. But the greatest thing about that was they played one of my favourite songs, which is Gloria. Gloria, Gloria.
Gloria, Gloria. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know why we insist on singing every week as well.
Is it a good soundtrack?
The soundtrack was exceptional.
Brilliant.
I really enjoyed it. And Lady Bird, I enjoyed. However, I do struggle when films are really hyped up.
Oh, yeah. My best friend really struggles with that. Yeah. Mainly because I'm always like, it's so good, it's brilliant, and then I ruin it.
It was brilliant. My favourite thing about Lady Bird, I've not kind of really told you what I, Tonya's about. I said figure skating in the 80s and her journey. That's it in a nutshell, because I don't want to ruin any spoilers. But Lady Bird, the thing that I enjoyed the most about that, lots of people have been commenting on like the mother-daughter relationship, which I, Tonya, is quite similar in the fact that they focus on that. But my favourite thing was the best friend relationship. I really enjoyed watching that and how it developed.
I'm very excited to see Lady Bird. Yeah. Very excited.
I've been to cinema twice in a week. I'm pretty much at my year's quota as a parent.
I'm going to aim to see it next week and we can debrief in the next episode.
Yeah, that would be helpful. What have you been watching this week, Liv?
Well, I was hoping you wouldn't ask, actually, because I've not really seen a lot. I've been just talking about snow and wallowing in self-pity, so I forgot to turn the telly on. No, I have seen Superbet and Gogglebox, both of which made me laugh a lot this week. One, because on Superbet, there was a dog in a curly wig, and he was like a dog that you send to places to help people. A rescue dog.
Can I interject just for a second and go back to last week's podcast where we referred to paramedics as ambulance drivers? Now that you've remembered the word for therapy dog, I just thought that I'd let you know that I'd also remembered the word for ambulance people, and they are paramedics.
This is like an apology they have at the front of magazines. Apologies, because last week we got everything wrong again.
Yeah, and this week's not really going much better. But tell me about the therapy dogs and wigs.
So yeah, I can't remember his or her name, but someone tweeted me and filled me in because I was just basically like, oh, it's a dog in a wig, and she was like, it's a therapy dog, and I was like, I'm sorry. And then I watched Gogglebox, which really made me laugh. It's one of those programs I always watch it just to fill my little Friday night gap. I normally watch Graham Norton. He wasn't on this week.
Where is Graham? He wasn't on the radio on Saturday. Is he on holiday? Is he okay?
I hope so, because yeah, I love Graham Norton, and I was expecting to watch it. It wasn't on, so I was like, oh, okay. Gogglebox was, and I think that's a really good debrief of the week in television.
You can miss everything on TV and then just watch Gogglebox.
And that's what I do.
What have you been buying? If you've not been watching TV, have you been shopping?
I have, and I've done well. There's two different things I want to talk about. The first thing was a brand called Isabel Fox. She has just launched her new collection, which is absolutely beautiful. So I've been eyeing that up extensively. She's got some beautiful like full length paper bag style trousers, which I've got my peepers on. It's really up your street. It's real like Katharine Hepburn, like modern yet classic. Ooh. And it's a grandmother and granddaughter. I feel like it's a brand you'll really love.
That's a little bit like, is it that the French brand where is that the mum and daughter?
Yes. Oh yeah, you're right.
What is the name of that French brand?
Maison Clio.
Yeah, that's cool, but that one's made in England.
Yeah, it's all made in the UK, and yeah, they're incredibly, incredibly talented. So loving, loving her new their new collection even. And the second thing I've been buying, well, nearly, is a wedding dress.
Casual, just slipping that in there.
Slipping that in there, like blowing you all out of the water.
So yeah, let's talk about the wedding briefly, because you went for one appointment and then I believe life got in the way. And I just thought you were putting it on the back burner, but...
Well, I rescheduled. So I was meant to go a couple of weeks ago and yeah, life got in the way a little bit. So I rescheduled and I had two appointments yesterday. Initially in the first one, I tried on quite a few dresses. You have an idea about what you think you'll like, and everything I thought I'd like didn't quite look right on me, like embroidery, a lot of lace. And then I was like, oh, maybe we'll just go for something more simple. I tried a few really simple, like very grown up, sophisticated dresses on. And they looked really nice. And I was like, oh my God, this isn't what I expected at all.
I've heard that a lot about wedding dress shopping.
It threw me off a little bit. And they did look nice, but Joni, I didn't feel like me.
Yeah, definitely. And on your wedding day, you want to feel like the best version of yourself.
I want to feel like Liv 2.0. And I know I can say this because Joe will not listen. Unlike Jack, who is a dedicated listener, Joe just says, well, you don't listen to my podcast. And that's it. So
does Joe have a podcast?
Well, he did a football one with his friends. Very like kind of low key thing.
Sorry, Joe, I'm not listening to that. I wanted to support your creative endeavours, but
I listened to him recording it, and that's my contribution.
That's enough. I woke up to the sounds of Match of the Day this morning. I wondered why Jack was so eager to get out of bed.
I went to sleep to the sounds of Match of the Day.
This is probably really inappropriate and I've already gone off on one, but my the last song at my granddad's funeral was the Match of the Day soundtrack. If you knew my granddad, it was quite a funny thing. But so every time Match of the Day comes on, flashbacks straight to the funeral. So
oh no,
I laugh.
I think
that's
the thing with funeral songs. So we've gone from weddings to funerals. Who was it? Someone died, and they said basically they didn't want any song that anyone would ever recognise again to be played. And I thought that was a really kind thing to do.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because like, the older I get, the more songs are...
Well, that's the thing. There's a few songs that I love. There's a couple of George Harrison ones I love. But then I'm like, I don't want to ruin that for everyone.
Yeah,
I don't
that's want
people
true,
to then
actually.
Listen to it and then be like, oh yeah, Liv's dead.
Okay, we've really gone off one. Can we get back to weddings? How did we even
get
there?
How did we get here?
One wedding and a funeral.
So morbid. I'm so sorry.
Can I ask you a few questions about wedding dress shopping? Do you get to sit there and drink champagne?
Yes, that you do.
Do you?
I didn't. I mean, I'm not really a drinker, but they also offer other beverages such as water and tea.
Do they offer sweet treats or is there no food near the dresses?
The only wedding dress appointment I've been offered sweet treats in was my last one, which was at Jenny Packham, and possibly the fanciest. And they offer chocolate-dipped biscuits.
Chocolate-dipped biscuits?
And Rocky Road. And I was like, dresses are probably some of the most expensive I've ever seen.
Jenny Packham was offering Rocky Road. If you just got a little bit on your thumb and then you went near the dress.
I know.
That's obviously for a classier customer than us. So have you found the one?
There wasn't like a moment where I was like, this is it, or crying, all of the rest of it. But basically, I went into Jenny Packham and there was two dresses I really wanted to try on. And I went downstairs, they had the rail of dresses, and the two that I really wanted to try on were not on the rail. My heart sank and I was like, they're the ones I really wanted. And I asked the lady, she was like, oh yeah, we have them. We just keep them out the back because I won't give too much away. But, you know, we keep them out the back. Bought them out.
Hang on, I want to know why she keeps them out the back.
Oh, I'll tell you. Because they're just slightly bigger than the others.
Oh, I see. Right, okay.
It was like, they take up too much room. So right. I was like, oh, woohoo! And I tried it on and I was just like, during your leading up to it and you're trying on other things and you're like, no, but I know what I want to try on. And I tried it on and it's got a lot of elements from lots of dress I'd pinned and a lot of other dresses I'd seen. This has a lot of elements of. So it's not like any one thing I thought I'd go for, but it's like lots of different things. So I was like, it's combining a lot of things, if that makes sense.
Okay, kind of. It's so cryptic.
I know. I feel like I can't give too much.
Well, give too much away. You can't. This is your wedding dress. It's a
secret. I'm not too precious, but equally, you know, it's nice to have a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, totally.
I did post on Instagram when we were upstairs waiting to go down for our appointment of this pink dress. that stole my heart. If that was in white, I would have bought it there and then remortgaged if I'd had to. It was so beautiful.
I don't even know how to mortgage, never mind about remortgage.
I mean, I don't think I've put enough mortgage into the mortgage to remortgage.
But you know, so we're just gonna have to wait till next year to see the dress.
I think so, unfortunately.
That's fine.
I will keep posted. I might do just a casual reveal one rainy Tuesday afternoon.
That is the temptation, isn't it? Because I'm a very impulse person, so one day if I just felt like it, I feel like I would just...
I can't keep a surprise. I really cannot. I really struggle, like, especially not telling Joe, because I tell Joe everything.
Yeah.
And we're taught everything, and it's really hard to be like, oh, I found potentially one of the most important dresses I'm ever going to wear, and be like, oh, by the way, I can't show you. Oh, it's so hard.
Kind of changing the subject, but not, because it's still about wedding dresses, but you know, do you feel like it's something you'd wear again, or is it very much like one day occasion?
It's a one day occasion dress, but it's the kind of dress I think I really won't ever want to take off, which I think if you're going to only wear it once, you want it to be the kind of dress you're going to want to wear from the moment you wake up to the moment you fall asleep.
Absolutely. And then sleep in it. Well, if you did want to wear it again, you can go to a ball in Lincoln, and I don't know what it's called, but my friend told me about it, and you go in your wedding dress.
Amazing. That's so, good.
If anybody else knows of any other occasions where Liv could get her wedding dress out.
Oh my God. So then when you get married, we can just go back up to Lincoln and maybe do an episode in our wedding dresses.
Absolutely. Give my friend a call. She's desperate to wear hers again.
I'm very into that. Yeah. Very into that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm quite into getting married at the moment on a spontaneous whim.
Not too spontaneous.
No,
please.
I think it's the winter. I think it's got to me. I've run out of things to do.
I was like, I want to buy a nice suit for something. Don't get. I mean, assuming I'll be invited.
Yeah. You can do the commentary. That was the word I was looking for. It's quite early on Sunday morning, everyone. I'd like to point out.
Joe and I finished our wedding list last week as well. So dust off your hats.
Oh, I can't. I'm not going to wear a hat. I've got quite a large head. I am shotgunning the pastel two-piece suit, trouser suit. Okay. For anybody listening.
Don't try it, guys.
Yeah, I think maybe me, Jack, and June might all wear the same colour.
Oh, like
or
a little
shades
bit.
Of like ombre tailoring.
Oh, don't.
I actually haven't bought a lot this week. I know you haven't asked me, but I'm moving swiftly on.
Yeah, I was about to ask. I'm not uninterested.
Just talking about your wedding all day
long. I know. Me.
I haven't bought a lot, but one thing I have bought are some biscuits from Marks and Spencer's. So I can't pronounce this properly. Maybe you can, but they're cinnamon. I don't even pronounce it.
Try. I want to hear you try now.
Palmiers, that's it.
Maybe. Is that a bit... Do I sound a bit pretentious when I say
no,
Palmiers?
No, I think Palmiers.
Palmiers.
Yeah, Palmiers. They're French, right?
Yeah.
But they're cinnamon, and my mum's given up chocolate for Lent. And on Wednesday, just before the snow got really bad, she went to Marks and Spencer's with June. I stayed in because it looked very cold. And she brought back loads of supplies. And these biscuits, they were the only reason I left the house on Friday to go and get more. So I've just been buying biscuits, basically. And I've also got some shoes that I can't wear because they're yellow satin slip-on slippers. Slip-on slippers?
Are you going to wear them out? Are you going to brave it?
Well, I'm not going to wear them out till at least it's been dry for a whole day. Like, the pavement can have no moisture in it when my foot hits the ground. for anybody, go on my Instagram and have a look. But they're yellow satin slip-ons. Oh, I can't say slip-on slippers. And they've got a flat mule.
Ooh.
And then they have a pom-pom on the front. But at no point will I be wearing those. I don't know. Maybe they're just a house shoe. I'm very undecided.
A day shoe.
Maybe they're a bed shoe or a taxi to bar shoe.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Maybe like a afternoon tea shoe.
Oh.
But they've been making me really happy. They're just a great, great shade of yellow.
Oh, they are dreamy. They're very sunshiny in these dark, dark times.
I have bought something else, actually. But it's from Topshop again. And I bought something from Topshop last week. And I haven't really been buying anything indie. But Topshop's on fire at the moment. What else can I say?
They are delivering the goods.
So it's a polka dot midi to maxi dress. It's got a high ruffle collar. I'm doing this with my fingers. It's actually sold out now, but it's a white base and it's got navy polka dots on. It's long sleeve, midi. I can't wait to wear that.
Well, I did buy something from Topshop.
Oh, what have you been buying? See, we've all got a little secret Topshop habit.
Oh, I bought a pink, and on the website it calls it a shacket. It's a shirt jacket.
I love it's a shacket.
Like, it's quite, it's like a workman style one. So it's got two front pockets.
Oh, and it's pink.
And it's like a, huh?
Did you say it was pink?
Yeah, like a blushy pink.
Oh, I like the sound of that. What's the collar?
It's just a normal kind of shirt style collar. So it's almost like a denim jacket, but like a pale pink and more shirt like. With a jacket consistency.
Oh, a jacket.
You got it. Oh, actually, there's one thing I would like to share before we get on to the main brunt of the episode, is that I've been really into a song by a gentleman called Ezra Furman, and it's a song called Wobbly, and I keep singing it. I think I heard it on Radio 6 for the first time, but Joe is getting really quite irate about it because I literally walk around the house singing it, and it's just such a feel-good song.
Why do boys... Well, maybe it's just Jack and... I think Jack and Joe are quite similar. Jack gets really cross if I play songs on repeat.
I suppose when I like a song, that's it. I play it once and I'm like, yeah!
And I'm going to keep playing it until I get sick of it.
And I haven't overplayed it, but apparently I've been singing it without realising. And Joe was... I played it on whatever night it was when we were having dinner. And he was like, oh, this song again. And I was like, I've not really played it to you that much. He was like, no, but you keep singing it. And I was like... Oh, I thought that was like a lovely thing. I thought my presence was unrivaled.
I thought it was charming.
But it's a very catchy song. So if anyone needs a little bit of a, like, get your day in motion song, I highly recommend it. Ezra Furman, Wobbly.
Okay, obviously I've not heard it because I've been listening to songs mainly from the 80s as I sang earlier, but I will give it a listen.
And, yeah, it's great. It's good.
See if I enjoy it. So what are we talking about this week, Liv?
This week... I thought we could go into the topic. I feel like we've not done many light topics yet, but they'll be coming, like style and things. But I thought
I want to do fashion soon, but it's not the time of year.
I really, well, yeah, even like finding your personal style, that could be a nice
I've been topic. In long johns for like 2 weeks. I have washed them, but I've got nothing to offer anybody in the way of style at the moment.
This week, I thought we could go on talking about people pleasing. Making people happy and what, you know, coming to terms with the fact that not everyone's always going to like you, which sounds actually quite a miserable thing to be talking about. But I think it's something that when you realise that you can't please everyone all of the time, it's quite empowering.
Oh, absolutely. I feel I did lots of work. Getting so American these days. I did lots of work on this last year.
You went into it.
Yes, I did. But you cannot please all of the people all of the time. You just cannot.
No. And the sooner you realise that, the better, I think.
Is that the end of the podcast? Done. That's our advice. But it's true. I think I spent so much of my early 20s trying to please lots of people, and actually by doing that you end up exhausted and not making yourself happy.
It's so true. There's a really good analogy that one of my friend Steph actually gave, who's on YouTube, and I find it a lot, especially with YouTube, because I think people can be quite critical of even like
YouTube and mean just I know that. They can get really mean
even on the small things. So say I sniffed a lot, for example, I had a cold, they'd be like, you're sniffing a lot. And it's lots of little things. I mean, be less sniffing, but like little traits you might do. This analogy that he gave was, I think he scrunched up a piece of paper and he said, this is you. And every time someone critiques you, you rip a bit of that paper off. And then you're left with this tiny little ball. Because everyone kind of, if you're trying to please everyone all the time, it shapes you into something that like, you're like almost the shadow of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you're
the means of what everyone wants you to be, opposed to just being yourself. And it's so true. And I think I'm particularly someone that's very prone to criticism, or like, oh God, they might not like this, or that person might not like this. And then you're trying to tailor it all the time, that you kind of really restrict yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a pin badge on my dungarees and it says take up space. And that was given to me by my friend Ray. And it, one of those things, like I've from being really little, I've grown up and people, my nickname at school was Gob on Legs.
That's so harsh.
I think that was my friend's mum that gave me that nickname as well.
Wow.
But, you know, to be female and to be quite bolshy or, well, see, I'm using the word bolshy already. I'm using negative words. But to be quite chatty, opinionated, quite loud, it's seen as quite negative things. So she gave me the pin badge to just remind myself to take up space. And especially with being visible on the internet, not everyone's going to like you.
Yeah.
And that's okay. If people are mean and they leave mean comments, get rid of them, just block them. But, you know, you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea.
I think when someone is nasty, that's their problem and not yours. That's their weight to carry. If they're unhappy about something you're doing that isn't out of line, that's their issue, not yours, for just being yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And I think people pleasing, it can even be, I was saying to you, I'm doing a talk on Monday and I got an email and I really wanted to do it, but they said to me, oh, do you want to do a presentation or do you want to do a talk? Old me would have said, I'll do the presentation, brilliant, that's fine. Whereas I just kind of went for the easier option for me and didn't really think about whether that was going to please the majority of people or not. It was just, for me, that was the easiest option. And I think just little things like that, you know, if somebody wants to meet up, you know, it's okay to say no if you don't have enough time or you've got a bit of a hectic week.
People would rather you do that than end up mucking them about, I think, especially with friends. Like, it's a lot easier to be like, actually, I can't really do that day, than say you can and then be like, oh, like, no, I can't do it. Or I then start faffing around later on and making it more difficult for both of you.
Yeah, and I think another one as well, you know, when people come around to your house and they're like, oh, let me know if you need anything. And then you just say no, when actually you would have liked them to, you know, if they're coming around for dinner or something, maybe they could bring the dessert or something like that. And sometimes giving those like quite firm instructions of, oh, if you could just pick up a dessert, or if you could, I had a brunch the other week and I asked people to bring a cafetiere and coffee because I don't drink coffee, and they said, oh, can I bring anything? And normally I would have said no, don't worry about it, gone out, bought a cafetiere, bought some really nice coffee that I actually am never going to use again, and that was fine. Nobody was annoyed or offended. I keep saying on these podcasts, as you get older, but I think as you get older you do less people pleasing. We were talking earlier about people unfollowing you on social media. You found out somebody had unfollowed you on social media and you were a bit sad. But then I said, so what?
I felt that's the thing. And I never check, but it was someone that, you know, you could, like, maybe not close to, but still like an acquaintance, that I think when you think, oh, why have they unfollowed you? But actually, it's not a personal thing. It's, do you know what I mean? Very surface level. But I think if you checked every time someone you liked but it had unfollowed you, it's quite toxic, and I don't do it. If you can, I know people that do get quite sucked into it and then take it quite personally. And again, if you're looking every time someone you like unfollows you, that's like a little flick to your confidence. And
imagine
all the time. And I think you can be as nice as, like, there is that horrible cheesy saying which I really wanted to avoid saying, but I'm gonna go there, which is like, you can be, I don't know, the juiciest peach in the punnet, and there will always be someone that doesn't like peaches. And it's so true that you could be lovely to everyone all the time, and someone will be like, oh yeah, she's too nice, but, you know, or you could, there's always something that people are going to just think, oh, she's too that, or she's too that, or I don't know, you're never going to strike a happy medium for everybody, and that's life.
Well, absolutely. Going back to peaches, I really, really dislike honey. And people, most people are like, how can you dislike honey? I just really don't like the taste. And that's no reflection on honey. It's amazing. It's made by bees. You know, honey's great. It's just honey's not for me. And that's absolutely fine. I do unfollow people on social media for loads of different reasons, but it's never kind of a deep-rooted hatred. It might be that maybe I'm just too fickle. Maybe they just posted too many pictures of coffee and I unfollowed them, you know.
I think that's it. Lucy Sheridan actually did a really good analogy of this, but it's so true. And I do feel like you have to, like, detach that a little bit. Like, I might unfollow someone and it's not because I dislike them or I think they're not a nice person. It's just mainly, maybe it's a jealousy thing. Maybe that's on my part. Maybe it's making me feel a bit insecure about my own achievements, which, again, is on me and not them. And I think it's remembering that if someone unfollows you, it's not necessarily your fault or your weight to carry.
Definitely.
And this is more than just social media as well.
Well, I think you need to, not you, just analysing you right now, but we need to remember that we're not in charge of how other people feel, and you're in charge of how you feel, and people pleasing can often blur the lines around that. I think apologising as well.
Yes.
I've stopped apologising, especially on emails, trying to take the word sorry. So I'm really sorry.
Oh, God.
Actually,
no, that's great. That's so true. I was like, I need to take that away this week. That's going to be my takeaway.
So I think there's a plugin you can get on your laptop, but I've just been doing it manually and just saying thank you for your patience. You know, it's not that I've been ignoring their email. It's that I've had other things going on and I've had to prioritise other things. Because you'll be amazed at how often you say sorry.
Oh, I know. I say sorry for everything. I think on even on Insta stories, a few people called me up and they were like I was talking. I was like, oh, sorry for the way I look, or the sorry that my hair's a bit of a mess. And people were like, what? Why are you saying that? Like, don't apologise. That's just how you look in the morning. Like, the second you start apologising, people think you need to be apologising. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So I think people-pleasing, ways to avoid it, or not ways to avoid it, ways to limit people-pleasing, is not apologising and learning to say no quite a bit when it doesn't work for you.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I think another point as well, I kind of keep putting this on you, but I just know a few situations we've had like the past couple of weeks, is when somebody's angry at you, or you think somebody's angry at you. Actually, I'm the worst for this. Like, it makes me so anxious, and until I know
that
person's okay with me, I won't be able to rest.
I'm like that. I cannot deal.
But again, if somebody's annoyed with you and you haven't actually done anything out of line, or you know offended that person, you know in yourself that actually what you did to offend them was totally fine, and actually it's their reaction, then
yes,
c'est la vie.
It is so true, and you can get yourself so worked up. And I think for a long time I've always been worried about pleasing people and not upsetting anybody, but you can't, because then you end up just kind of jumping over hoops, you could jump through them for everyone all the time, and then like it doesn't get you anywhere. Like, people don't necessarily look at you and think, wow, she's really made an effort. They're just like, oh, that's just what she does.
Yeah, definitely. People begin to accept that as the norm, so then also you can have people like walking all over you because they know that they can.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think if that's ever happened to me. I think one time I was really strict on not people pleasing was when I first had June, when I first had my baby. And I read that you should, I think it was Clemmie Hooper who said that you should have a week in bed and a week on the settee after you've had a baby. So I didn't quite do that, but I was really strict on visitors, really, really strict. So I had my mum and dad were here, and then they left, and then Jack's mum and dad came, and then they left. And actually, we just enjoyed quite a few long days and nights. Just me, Jack and June. And all the visitors came, but they came a couple of weeks after she was born because we just needed time to adjust. And that was the first time ever I didn't people please. I wasn't like, oh, well, you know, if you just want to pop round at 10 for half an hour. Because if you've tried to get rid of people when you've got a newborn baby, it's actually impossible.
Oh, I can imagine.
Ever since then, I just can't stop.
It's so positive, because it doesn't make you like an unkind or lovely person. You can still put your foot down and still be like a really nice, reasonable, rational human being. Like, it doesn't make you weaker or like harsh or brash. It just...
Another thing, when you think about a woman, and sometimes they, she's described as difficult.
Oh.
And that sometimes, you know, is why we go to the lengths of people-pleasing, because we don't want to be perceived as difficult or hard to work with. And it's never that I'm rude or unkind, just sometimes it's a no from me.
Yeah, and I'm very much like that. And I've been like in the past with work, that I've been like, oh no, I'll do it just to keep everybody happy. And then I've looked back and I thought, well, it didn't get you any further. Like, no one looked at you and thought, wow, what a saint. They just thought, oh, she'll do it. Whereas actually, you have to kind of be like, well, I need to put myself first here, because A, especially when you are your own like business and you are your own reflection of that, you know, you need to stand your ground. And I think especially when you have to be choosy to keep your brand in line, and you have to make those decisions to stop losing that authenticity and your beliefs, then actually you're the only person losing out if you're the one saying yes all the time.
Oh, I feel like I could open a can of worms on this, but I think that's so right. When you are your business, and for lots of people, they're the face of the business. Even, you know, I'm not just talking about bloggers and things like that. You know, lots of designers, florists, cake makers, candlestick makers, bread makers. You know, when you are the face of your business, sometimes, you know, you do want to work with people or say yes to things. And recently I've had to say no to a few things. There was one campaign in particular where they wanted me to post non-original images to my Instagram, and I just really had to put my foot down and say, I'm really sorry, I just don't do that kind of thing. And I was really firm, I was really polite, I was really nice in the way that I explained it, but it, you know, I just said no because I didn't
it wasn't
want
the right thing.
Yeah, and I didn't want to people please. And I think I've only become that kind of person in the last year, strong enough to kind of say, you know, I'm not going to do that. And I think I'm becoming slowly a better person for it.
Well, yeah, because then you're not compromising on your beliefs and what you think is right with your positioning. But equally, you know, no one's looking at you thinking, God, what a challenge. They're just like, oh, that's fair enough. Because then there's probably things that they wouldn't do for their job either.
Absolutely. And if people do think I'm difficult, then so what? I'm not difficult. Maybe I am difficult. But do you know what? So what? Why does that have to be a negative?
Maybe we need to redefine difficult.
Yeah, what could be another word for difficult? Even the phrase, she knows what she likes, that is deemed as
a negative thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she knows what she likes.
Maybe this week we should think about how we can rephrase some of those negative personality traits that I think often females get labelled with, and see if we can come up with some more positive
ways of being, like, even firm.
Yeah.
Everything's, when you say things like that, you're presented with an image of someone that's like Miss Trunchbull or like a really like tough, intimidating, bullshy woman. Whereas actually, I think you can be decisive.
Yes, like that.
You know, you can just know what you want without being a harsh or nasty person.
Yeah, it's not, you know, I feel like there's two ends of the spectrum. You're either really nice and you're doing the people pleasing, or she's somebody that would walk all over somebody to get what she wants. And actually, is there there absolutely is a happy medium in the middle. And Liv's pulling faces over me. Stop it.
There's this girl.
And why don't we see that person more? I feel like I could explore this topic for hours.
I know. I feel like we always get to like the end of a conversation and we're like, God, we're only just flexing this muscle.
Absolutely. Well, somebody messaged me the other day, and I'm sorry because I can't remember your name, and said about my phone-in situation that we could maybe take pre-recorded messages and somehow play them, but I still don't know how that's going to work.
I feel like we could. I feel like maybe if you wanted to maybe leave a voice note on your phone, with a question potentially, and then email it to us.
Yeah, we'd have to release the topic before then though.
Yeah, that would require us being a bit more decisive, wouldn't it?
Firm.
We were going to talk about how like getting yourself out of a funk next week.
Yes, we were going to talk about that this week, but then Liv kind of said to me, do you want to talk about people pleasing? And I feel quite passionately about not people pleasing.
Pleasing the people.
Well, I wanted to please you, so that's why I said yes. But yes, so next week's topic in advance is going to be getting out of a funk, because I think both me and Liv have been in a funk recently for different reasons. So if you have any thoughts, comments, suggestions on that, feel free to email us.
And then we can read them out and we can answer them. And then, we would love to.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting somewhere. We're getting a structure. in place.
Yes, the structure.
It's not just mindless waffle. Apologies to anybody that listened to last week's podcast episode and listened to the unedited version that I uploaded to SoundCloud.
No comment.
It was an excellent version where Jack walked in, Liv kind of knocked over some vases. There was all kinds going on. So that's today in a nutshell. I hope that this kind of works. I don't know if our chemistry is as hot down the line.
I feel it's hot all year round, all location round.
So if this does work, we could maybe, Liv, I'm just kind of putting this to you, but Liv's going on some crazy adventures in a couple of weeks, and we were actually going to skip the podcast. However, if this does work and you're happy with the quality, people out there, we could do this for when you're away rather than skip a week.
That's a very good idea. I'm actually going to be in New Zealand, which is very far away from Margate, so that could be a good compromise. We can communicate via across the world, didn't word that correctly, but you know, via the means of Skype.
Yeah, so thank you for listening. I mean, I hope the quality is okay. It might even be better, who knows.
Let us know, but only if you liked it.
Yeah, we had a review this week about the sound quality, but I don't know. Send us an email rather
than
leave a
review. We're working on it.
We're trying our best. Done is better than perfect, no?
Yes. Yeah, amen. Preach it louder.
Well, I hope that everybody has a good week. The snow has melted here in Margate, and I hope wherever you are that it melts too, and we see some signs of spring.
I hope so also.
Are you going to say goodbye, Liv?
Goodbye, Liv. No. So we will either see you IRL this week or we will hear from us next week. Hope you will have a lovely, lovely, positive week, lots of good telly, and we'll catch up then.